Well, how many of you like Johnny Cash? A few of you. I like Johnny Cash. I got to see him in concert several years ago, quite a few years ago. I was in junior high. So that was, you know, at least a couple of years back. But we're starting a new series today called The Beast in Me. The video about the XO conference, that's coming up very soon. Is it next weekend? It's Friday and Saturday. So it's not too late, though. If you want to sign up, you can sign up at the Connect Wall. That is our marriage conference that we do as a simulcast, Marriage Today. And it's always fantastic, and we always have good food here, too. So we're going to have something, you know, little snacks. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn there. I was there last week. We're going to look at it again, but also hold your place in Romans 7. Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Like I said, the new series is entitled The Beast in Me. And I'm continuing, though, in our journey this year to spiritual and emotional health and maturity. Many of you know I'm probably not that far ahead of you, and some of you may be ahead of me in some areas. I'm becoming more and more aware of how immature and how stuck I've been emotionally in my life. And just this week, I was aware of it again. I had a moment where I got a little impatient over nothing substantial. It was just a, have you ever been there? You know, it was just I don't want to go into, no reason to go into the details of it. It was just silly. It was just trivial. But I got a little impatient. And I got a little frustrated with someone in my family and a little impatient. And does anybody relate to that? Okay, so it was not a bad explosion or a bad anger thing or anything like that. It was just a little frustrated, a little impatient. And then immediately I thought, why? Why was I in such a hurry? And why was I upset? And why was I frustrated? And that awareness of this immaturity in me that's been there my whole life, 51 years. But I've just now becoming aware of it. And I don't like being aware of it. I want to go back to when I didn't know, you know, how immature I was, you know. But we're all in a journey, I think. And sometimes we can be oblivious and so unaware of ourselves. And so this is a journey we're taking this year to become more mature emotionally, become more mature spiritually. And so I want to jump back to my series that I just finished. It was entitled, What Do You Think? And really, what you think about God, what you think about His love, what do you think about His grace, what you think about His Holy Spirit, is going to determine how healthy you grow spiritually, and how mature you grow emotionally. And so I talked about four things. I talked about, what do you think about God? Do you think God is frustrated and mad and angry with you all the time? If you do, you're not going to want to come to Him. But He's not like that. He's good. He's a good father, and He is approachable. But also, I talked about, I'm going to do this thing where I'm going to take some steps here. So 1, 2, 3, 4. So God is good. What do you think about love? If you think love is conditional, then you'll always be working to try to earn God's love, but also the love of others. But the truth of the matter is, God's love is unconditional. He loves you unconditionally. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's a father who loves you. He's a good father. He's good. He loves you. And so you can come to Him, but how do you get to Him? Well, that's the thing I talked about 2 weeks ago. That's grace. Through Jesus Christ, we can come to this loving and good Father. Jesus made a way. And it's not in your own abilities, lest you should boast, the Bible says. But it's the grace that we find through Jesus Christ. It's not how good you are, it's how good Jesus was and is. And so by grace we can come to this Father. But when we come to the Father, this good and loving Father, through grace, how does He then begin to help us? That's the fourth thing I talked about last week. That's through the Holy Spirit. His presence filling your life, His presence with you throughout your life, strengthening you. I want to talk more about the Holy Spirit in this message today, but that's really important because how we think of God, God is our healer. He's the one who helps us to grow. He's the one that helps us to mature, but He's the one who heals those deep inner wounds in our life. He's the one who heals us within, and how we think of Him will determine how we come to Him or if we'll come to Him. If you don't think He loves you, then you're not going to come to your healer. But He is a loving Father who made a way through grace in Jesus for you to get to Him, and then His Spirit can fill your life and heal you. God is good, but I want to tell you something else today. We have an enemy. How many of you know this? We have an enemy. The Bible calls him Satan, the devil, and his demons. And I don't have time in this message today to go into all of this scripturally, but just as God is real, just as Jesus is real, just as the Holy Spirit is real, and He is the Godhead three in one, He is God, Satan is real. Now, he's not on an equal playing field with God, okay? I want you to understand that today. He's already been defeated at the cross. And the Bible says he's under our feet. But he still has influence in this world today. And he wants to come in and influence your life. In fact, the Bible talks about strongholds that often can happen. Things that, strongholds being where the enemy comes in and develops a stronghold over you. Satan and demonic spirits can have open doors into our lives. And I want to talk about four areas in this sermon, The Beast and Me. I want to talk about four areas that can be open doors, if you will, for the enemy to come in and continue to have a stronghold in your life, to keep you away from your healer, keep you believing the old things that maybe you believe or living in your past and being influenced by your past, to keep that stronghold in your life. These are open doors. And you saw in the video, the four things that I'm going to be talking about through this series are your flesh, your will, and that can be a good or bad thing. And I'm going to be talking about emotions, particularly toxic emotions. And then I'm going to be talking about pain. Pain in our life, pain from our past, things that the enemy uses often as open doors, or we leave doors open for him to come in and to establish these strongholds in your life. So today I want to be talking about the flesh. Isn't that a great word, flesh? It just sounds like what it means. Just say it real slow, flesh. The beast of your flesh. So last week, again, I talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit to our healing. He is God. He is with us today. But your flesh is with you today too. But the Holy Spirit is God, and He is with you. And He is the one who heals you. Some of you know that I went through a season of my life in the fall last year, at the end of the summer, really. I was struggling in a lot of areas and took some time away. But I want to tell you, Jennifer, who is my wife, she says a lot of times that I say my wife, my wife, my wife, and I'm trying to break that habit and say and call her Jennifer, because you know she's her identity is not my wife; she is her own person. And what a wonderful person you are. But she, during this time, was struggling too. It wasn't just me that was going through some struggles and some emotional situations and some grief. She was struggling too. And she was hurt. She was wounded. She was angry. And she just admitted to me that through that season, if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, she doesn't know if she would have made it. And she said, there was times where I did not even know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prayed through me. That's scriptural, by the way. Sometimes we don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, prays through us with groanings that sometimes can't even be uttered. When we pray, the Bible talks often about praying in the Spirit, and we understand that to be a heavenly prayer language that we sometimes don't even understand, but the Holy Spirit prays through us. She said, if it had not been for that, if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, if it had not been for Him filling my life and praying through me, I don't know if I would have made it. Some of you may be going through something right now. I want to tell you something. You desperately need the Holy Spirit. You need Him to empower you. You need Him to baptize you, to saturate you, to fill your life. And you need to know what it's like to release control to someone who you can trust, who can do a better job than you've been doing and help you through this. He's your healer. But I want to say this to you. Why am I talking again about the Holy Spirit today? Because the arch rival, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's nemesis is your flesh. Now, when I talk about the flesh, I'm not talking about this. They say the largest organ in your body is your flesh. I'm not talking about your skin. I'm not talking about your muscle, your sinews. I'm not talking about your fat, in my case. I'm not talking about this physical body. Number one today, your flesh, the flesh is our fallen nature. It's your fallen nature. It's that fallen, sinful nature that doesn't act like God. It does not want to have anything to do with God. It resists God often. It resists the ways of God. God made Adam and Eve in His image, and He put them in the garden, and He gave them everything they needed. And not only did He give them everything they needed, but He gave them purpose. He gave their life meaning. And He put them in a paradise. But they sinned. And when they sinned, we call that the fall. And everybody after, including you and including me, the Bible says was born in a fallen state. We were born in sin. We often think of sin as bad things that we do. That's really fruit of sin or the works of sin. That's really the bad things that happen to us and the bad things that we do are usually a byproduct of this fallen nature, this sinful nature that everyone is born into. The reason we know, the reason I know, the reason you can know that we're born into sin, especially if you've had children, if you've raised children, you know that they have a sin nature early on because you don't teach them to be bad. Nobody ever taught me to be bad. I came by bad naturally because I was born into sin. And so we have this fallen nature, and it is referred to often throughout Scripture as our flesh. The natural state, how we were born, the fallen nature, which is our flesh, has been passed down from generation to generation to everybody. This is why no one is born saved. No one is born saved and going to heaven. We all have to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We all have to be born again because we were born wrong the first time. That fallen nature will be with you, though, for the rest of your life. And there's a lot of people who would probably like to stand up, especially in some charismatic circles, and rebuke me and say, don't say that. But it's true. Even after you're saved, even after you become a Christian, even after you say yes to Jesus and follow Him, you still have to deal with your flesh. You still have it with you. Your flesh will be with you until the day you die. And therefore, you're going to have to deal with it. This is the carnal part of us, that natural part of us that doesn't act like God, that part of you that resists God, that resists the ways of God, doesn't really want to have anything to do with God. This beast of our flesh that is within us all is something that we will have the rest of our life. We'll have to deal with it. He wars against the Holy Spirit of God. It's the nemesis. I was wrestling with different things to call this. One of the things that I was kicking around in my head was kind of, have you noticed how our culture is really just excited about comic book and comic book characters? And we have these every year the biggest blockbuster movies are superhero movies. Right now, the number one movie in the country, I don't know if it is right now or not, but it has been Aquaman. Did I say that right? Aquaman. Well, I say Aquaman. Aquaman. You know, and all these superheroes, they have the really good ones, if we want to be honest, that really create good storylines, have good villains. That's an oxymoron. They have really compelling, I don't know how to say this. Bottom line is the Holy Spirit is the answer, but his arch rival, his enemy, his villain is our flesh. And we have the Holy Spirit with us, but we also have this flesh that wars against him. I read this last week in Galatians 5, but it bears repeating. And I want you to see, notice how in Galatians 5, our flesh and the works of our flesh are contrary to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I started last week in verse 18, but this week I want to back up to a couple of verses to verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read a lot of scripture here today, so get ready. So click over if you have it on your Bible, or turn your page over. Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Already we see this contention, this rivalry, how the flesh wants to control you, and the Holy Spirit is what you really need in your life. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It's against the Spirit. It disobeys. It wants to do things that the Holy Spirit doesn't want for you. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, do you mind just saying but? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What we need to understand about our flesh versus the Holy Spirit is that this is a daily decision. It's a daily decision that we have to make. Are we going to listen to our flesh? Are we going to be governed by our flesh? Are we going to be controlled and manipulated by our flesh? Are we going to remain in bondage to our fallen nature? Or are we going to say, we need you, Holy Spirit. We need the fruit that comes from God manifested in our life. But it's a decision. How do we keep the devil from gaining ground in our life? How do we keep him from keeping us in bondage? How do we overcome the issues in life of our past and our hurts? How do we walk in freedom from this fleshly beast within us? Verse 16 again, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. So number two, choose to walk in the Holy Spirit. Choose to walk in the Spirit. But it's a daily decision. Walking in the Spirit means to be led by the Holy Spirit, obeying Him throughout your your day. But for me, can I just tell you, it's more than just a decision I make. I start off my morning this way, and I'm going to talk about that. But it's for me, I'm understanding that it's not just a morning decision, but it's a moment by moment decision. Because there's several times during my day where my flesh comes back and tries to be the beast over me again, tries to control me or to take over. How many of you know that's true? It's not just a one time. And I so wish that it could be just a one time thing where you say, I'm making this decision once and for all. And from this day forward, Holy Spirit is going to control my life. And that take care of it. But every morning I wake up and I still have the flesh with me. I wake up in the morning and the alarm goes off and I have to get up. And I don't want to. How many of you hit snooze? Come on, be honest. How many hit the snooze button at least once in the morning? Okay, put your hand down. How many of you would be honest and say you hit snooze it more than once in the morning? I had a friend who he snoozed from 6 o'clock until about 10 o'clock. Can you imagine sleeping? How many hours is that? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Can you imagine sleeping 4 hours, 9 minutes at a time? There was there was some survey done of some of the top executives, CEOs, Forbes, Fortune 500 leaders. They don't hit snooze. One of the habits of most of them is they don't hit snooze. You know, can I tell you what I've started doing? I hit snooze, but instead of rolling over and going back to sleep, the first thing I do is I start praying in my spirit. Before I get up and get my morning coffee, before I even roll out of bed and find my prayer place, I mean, I'm still in bed. You've heard me do this. I will roll over, I'll hit snooze, I'll roll over, and I'll just start praying in my spirit. Just start praying. You see, why is that? It's because my flesh, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak, and I know this. I know this beast in me is going to try to take over. And so immediately I roll over and I start praying. Now this is just me. I'm not going to tell you what you should do this. I'm just going to tell you it works for me and it's starting to work for me better and better. But I just roll over and I just start praying in my spirit. And the reason I do that is because I know that my flesh, if I don't get in the spirit, if I'm not walking in the spirit, the flesh is going to take over. The flesh is going to say, hit snooze again and again and again. But more often than not, most people, instead of waking up and saying, good morning, Lord, they wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning. We've got to get to that place, because if you don't understand this, if you don't walk in the Spirit, if you don't understand it from the very get-go in your morning, please hear me today, you're going to start off in the flesh. And that's going to set the tone for your day. You ever wake up mad? And you don't even know why you're mad. You're mad that the alarm's going off. I don't want to get up. I don't want to. I don't want to go work out. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to. I just want to stay in bed. I'm mad. I'm mad at you, and I don't even know why. I'm mad at the world. That's the my friends, that's the flesh. That is the flesh inside of you that is starting off your day angry. Just look at that list again. Outbursts of wrath. Think about that. Have you ever had an outburst of wrath? Contentions, anger. I could talk about a whole lot of things in that list, but I'm not going to. But the reality is we have to begin to walk in the Spirit, turning our lives over to Him. And this, like I said, is a moment by moment thing, because multiple times during your day, you're going to have an opportunity again to be controlled by the beast of your flesh. Your flesh is still with you, and it doesn't always like what the Holy Spirit is saying. I've been a Christian since 1985. If you do the math, that's over 30 years. This spring, it'll be 34 years. And can I just tell you that I have multiple times during my day where I could succumb to the flesh again, because my flesh is with me always. I often struggle with my flesh versus the Holy Spirit leading my life. I can wake up and I can just be carnal. I can be angry. I can be frustrated. Or I can be depressed and not even know why. I can be sad. I can be mad. Sometimes I can just be a toot and a half. That's what my kids say. I can be impatient. I can be envious. I can be jealous. Why does this happen? Why do we have this daily and even moment-to-moment struggle? Let me explain. It's because your flesh is your default. It's your it's your default setting. I was asking Andy about this before the service. What does that mean exactly? And he says that's like the factory setting. If you take a computer, it has a default setting. It's the factory setting. It's the original. Your flesh is your original. It's your default setting. So every morning when I wake up, I wake up at my default setting. I have to immediately begin to walk in the Spirit. I have to immediately begin to let the Holy Spirit fill my life again. Because if I don't, I'm going to go back to the default setting. That flesh, that fallen nature, it's in us all. It's with us all. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God with you, but the flesh is with you till the day you die. It's your default setting, and if you don't have something to make it better. What, Andy, how did you say that? I said, what does default setting mean to you? You said it means I need to upgrade that puppy right away. Right? You said something like that. It means I need to upgrade it right away. I need to make it better. The Holy Spirit comes to upgrade you and to make you better. Without the Holy Spirit, you're going to go right back to that flesh, that fallen nature, that default setting. It sounds hopeless, but it's not. The hope is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The help is the Holy Spirit. The healing of that inward part of you that wants to continue to gravitate and be controlled by this beast of your flesh. The help, the hope, and the healing is the Holy Spirit. That'll preach. Why didn't I write that down? Anyway. So you need the Holy Spirit to help you live a saved life. You're already saved, but we need the Holy Spirit. This is why the first thing I do in the morning is I get up and I just pray in my spirit, because I wake up in my default setting. I wake up in my flesh. So every day, for you to be healed, for you to be healthy, for you to engage in healthy relationships with healthy emotions, you have to choose the Holy Spirit over your flesh. Really, only two choices. You can be governed by, led by, controlled by the bondage of the beast of your flesh. Or you can turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Those are really the only two choices that we have. You can walk in the Spirit, and there's help and there's that healing that you need. But throughout your day in life, we still have this fallen flesh. And in Romans chapter 7, I asked you to hold your place there. The Apostle Paul talks about this ongoing daily struggle. And he's talking in the first person. In other words, he's talking about himself. He says, I struggle with this. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That's 2/3 more than you and me. And yet he say, I have this same struggle. He says, I want to do the things that I'm supposed to do and I don't do them, or I don't want to do the things that I'm not supposed to do and I end up doing it anyway. Can anybody relate to that? Come on. He says, I have this. I want to read this from the Message translation. This is Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. I like the way the Message translates this. It says, what I don't understand about myself, remember, this is the Apostle Paul talking, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. How many of you say, I need something more? Okay. I need something more, for if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. How many of you can relate? I need help. I realize, verse 18, that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. Willpower is not enough. Now, I'm going to be talking about your will next week, so don't miss next week. It's going to be good. And we need to exercise willpower. We need to understand self-control. But the reality is, it's not enough. We need His power. We need His power. We need the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the beast of our flesh. Verse 19, I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. Does that sound familiar? Verse 20, my decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there, that beast, that flesh, that default setting, that fallen nature, it's there to trip me up. Verse 22, I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebel. Parts of me covertly rebel. And just when I least expect it, they take charge. That beast takes over again. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer. Ah, finally. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all of my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Now that's the end of chapter 7. But this was a letter written to Romans who had become Christians. And so when you write a letter, have you ever written chapter 1? Verse 1? Dear? No. This was a letter. So when this was really originally written, there was no chapter and verses. So it continues on into chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. And a lot of people, they end right there. What's the answer? What's the answer to this dilemma, this ongoing struggle between my flesh and the spirit, between what I want to do and what I don't want to do, and ending up doing what I don't want to do? What is the answer to this dilemma? Verse 25, right there, he says, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ can and does help us. Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But it doesn't end with that. He continues in verse 1 of chapter 8 with this answer to this dilemma. And I'm switching back now to the New King James Version, which is what I usually teach out of. Verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the, pause for emphasis. I wrote that in my notes. Walk according to what? The Spirit. Can I just tell you, in the next chapter, chapter 8, he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit 20 more times. I counted. He's saying the answer really is Jesus. We can get to God by Jesus. We can get to the one who is good, he loves us, and by grace through Jesus we can get to him. But how does he then help us with this battle against our flesh? The Holy Spirit in us, through us, empowering us. We need the Holy Spirit. And he says over and over again, if we walk according to the Spirit, we will not walk according to the beast of our flesh. So how do we do this? How do we walk in the Spirit? Let me just read one more of these passages from Romans chapter 8 now, where he talks about the Holy Spirit. And this is verse 5. He said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." To walk in the Spirit means we need to begin to set our minds on God. How do we walk in the Spirit? Number 3, set your mind on the Holy Spirit. That's why, again, I get up in the morning. The first thing I do now is I begin to set my mind on the Holy Spirit. I begin to think about him. This goes back again to the series last month. What do you think? There's an old wrestling term. It says, where the head goes, the body follows. And it's very obvious. I mean, if you grab somebody by the head and you start pulling their head down, eventually the body is going to follow. It's going to be a bad day if it doesn't. We're talking about our flesh. Where the head goes, the body follows. What you think about, what you fill your mind with, what you set your mind on is going to determine if the Holy Spirit is leading you or if you're going to continue to be led by the beast of your flesh. That beast is there. He's with us. That's why I call this the beast in me. He's in me. He's in you. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is here, and he is no match. The beast in us, the flesh, is no match for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be more powerful. We need to give the Holy Spirit a bigger place in our life. Right now, whether you realize it or not, you give your flesh, their fallen nature, a pretty big place in your life. I envision it almost like this monstrous hulking.
And your Holy Spirit is over here just timid and weak.
We need to turn the tables there. We need to let the Holy Spirit take over, fill our lives. That's walking in the Spirit. Setting your mind, though, is a key. Say, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to set my mind on you. And throughout my day, Holy Spirit, how do I need to handle this? How do I engage with this person right now? How do I deal with this pain that is on the inside of me? How do I deal with this temptation? How do I deal with this fear? How do I deal with this addiction that I've had? How do I walk in freedom over my flesh? The Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's there to bring hope. He's there to bring help, and he's there to bring healing. Please hear me today. For some of you, this means you're going to have to go back because you've been stuck. And and taking steps back is not something I like to do. I don't like to go back. But sometimes we have to go back and we have to look. Is there some unforgiveness in our life? Is there some wounds from our past? Is there something going on with maybe the way I was raised that contradicts what the Holy Spirit is saying? It's contrary to the Word of God. Sometimes we need to forgive. We just need to let things go. Realize how much we've been forgiven. And let the Holy Spirit come in and take over. That's a frightening thing for some people. Because you've been so in control for so long. I got to ask you, how's that going for you? How's that really working? We need something. Just like Paul said, I need help. It's not working for me. Set your mind on the things of God. Has this been okay today? I want to ask you to stand up. I want to ask you for just a minute, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? In fact, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask Him, what are you saying to me today through this message? You can close your Bibles. I hear some of you doing that already, but just close your eyes, though, for a minute and just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today in this message? No one's looking around. No one's, it's just you and God today. You may have some wounds inside you that are fueling and feeding your flesh. You're making him stronger because of these vain imaginations or these fears or these wounds and these pains, this unforgiveness. You're making him stronger. It may have become a root of bitterness in your life, and you have just made him even stronger. You need to see how weak he really is compared to the Holy Spirit. And ask him to come and fill your heart and your life. To heal you. It's not willpower, it's his power. You can overcome your flesh, your fallen nature. We all can. But it's with us again the next moment. And we can decide again, I'm going to walk according to the Spirit, not according to my flesh. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll come and fill us all. Fill us all, Lord, with your presence. Fill us all with your power. Fill us with your Spirit. Just ask him today, fill your heart today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to come to the front. We have some prayer leaders who will meet you here today to pray with you regarding anything in your life. You may need prayer for salvation. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you need to come and receive prayer today. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Maybe that's never really happened in your life and you just need to release control to Him. These leaders are here to pray with you. Now there's other needs here, and I don't want anyone leaving here today without having their need met or prayed for. So there's prayer being offered here, the prayer of agreement at this altar this morning. And if you need prayer regarding anything today, don't be afraid or hesitant in any way to come and receive prayer that you need. But I just want to pray one more prayer blessing over you this morning. And I want all of you to receive the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, to walk in freedom today from the beast of your flesh. And all of us need this, so I'm just going to ask you to open your hands up wide like you're going to receive. And Father, I speak over this congregation today. Speak life. Lord, you came to give us life and life more abundantly. Lord, when we are succumbing, if we are in bondage to the beast of our flesh, we're not living real life. We're not living engaged. We're not living free. So, Lord, I pray for life to come. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of your Spirit to fill our thoughts, to fill our hearts, to fill our emotions, to heal us from our pains. And God, that your power will rise up stronger within us against our flesh in Jesus' name. Bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.